Welcome to the Pata Martins podcast. My name is Céline Terranova. I'm an author and brand new podcaster here to help you in your creative career. This show is all about advice, support, and inspiration for performers, writers, musicians, and any kind of artist. Hi everyone, and welcome to the Partum Artist Podcast, episode 10. I am now in the double digits for the podcast, and I'm pretty psyched about that. And because 10 is a milestone, I'm going to do a giveaway. I will give away 2 signed copies of my book, The Partum Artist. To enter, it's super simple. Leave a review for the show on iTunes and let me know that you've done it on social media. You'll have all the direct links in the show notes to make your life easier. So if you want to win, head to iTunes and let me know what you think of the show so far. Right, today it's just me and I'm going to talk about a subject that I really, really care about, mental health. But before I do, here's the latest news for the part-time artist. Last week, I was very busy working on the website. I had a lot of technical stuff to sort out and I wanted to make the website look more professional. I also wanted the website to reflect a shift in my business. The Part-Time Artist was created at the beginning to help individuals. So if you're listening to this, you are probably a creative person and my podcast, book and blog are made to help you personally. But lately, I've been working with a business advisor and we've come up with ideas to help businesses improve the life of the creative people working for them. So I'm pretty excited because I've worked in places that didn't have a great environment and I know firsthand how destructive it can be. And I'm really looking forward to being able to improve the well-being of many people at the same time within the creative industry. So I'm kind of scaling up a little bit to help more people. And the website is going to reflect that more and more. Don't worry though, the podcast, the book and the blog are not going to disappear. Working with individuals is still a big part of the part-time artist. And at the end of the day, my goal is still to help you make a transformation so you enjoy your life more, you feel less frustrated and you produce more art. I'm just going to do it with more people. Last week, I have also posted an article on the blog about pitching your ideas. Pitching is something that a lot of us don't really like to do. I was not very good at it, but I was lucky to have 2 very different kinds of training back to back 2 weeks ago. I learned how to pitch my novel to an agent at Yalc, and I also learned how to pitch a proposal to a business thanks to my business advisor. And weirdly, these 2 courses had a lot in common. So what I did with the article is to take the best tips and write them down. Check out the article on the blog for more details. The link is in the show note. And finally, in the fiction department, I have started working on my query letter for Healers, my novel that I just finished. Actually, the letter is almost done, but I'm still working on the synopsis. And if you ever had to write a synopsis, you probably know how difficult it is to compress your story in 1 page. So it's a work in progress. I've also started working on my next project. Now, last episode, I was talking about a true crime story, but I've had another idea and I'm kind of working on that now. This is something that happens to a lot of creative people. You kind of have to choose between several projects sometimes. So this new project is a contemporary YA novel and I'm at the outlining step. And I'm using the snowflake method to make the outlining easier. And actually, I've had a really interesting discussion about this method on Twitter last week. So if you want to check out the discussion, it's on my Twitter account. The link will be in the show note. And you know what? A lot of people didn't know about it, so I might write a blog post about it in the future. Right, that's all for the news. Let's talk about Patreon. If you like this show, if you find the content inspiring or useful, please consider supporting me on Patreon. Your support would help me pay for the hosting and the equipment, plan more special episodes like the one I did at Yalc 2 weeks ago, and market the podcast so that more people can find out about it. My sponsorships start at $2 per month, and if you become a patron, you'll have access to an exclusive episode each month, and you'll be able to choose what subject I talk about in these episodes. So check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/thepartimeartist, patreon.com/thepartimeartist. So, as I said at the beginning, today's show is all about mental health. Before I start, I wanted to give you guys a warning for this episode. I'm going to talk about subjects such as depression, anxiety, and suicide. The purpose of this episode is to offer help and solutions, hopefully, but I'm also going to talk about my personal experience with mental health issues, and it might be a bit difficult to hear for some of you, so I just wanted to warn you. So, the context that's going to frame this whole discussion is the link between creativity and mental health issues. I talk about it in my book, and lately I've been doing some more research for my training project to improve well-being in the creative industry. I found this study that is quite scary. It's a research from Ulster University that found that workers in the creative industry are 3 times more likely to suffer from mental health problems. The study is really interesting, and I will put it in the show notes for you if you want to read it entirely, but in a nutshell, it found that the working conditions and the lack of recognition for creative people is almost like poison and creates stress and mental health issues. The most common diagnosed disorders were anxiety and depression, and there was high proportion of people reported having had suicidal thoughts. And when I say high proportions, it was 60%. And 37% had made a plan for suicide, and 16 had made a suicide attempt in their lifetime. Now, while this study concentrates on the creative industry, and you might not be working in the creative industry, I think a lot of its findings apply to every artist. And there are other studies that show exactly the same trends. Us artists are more at risk than other people when it comes to mental health problems. It makes sense to me because it's really my experience. I suffer from anxiety, I have suffered from depression and low self-esteem. And a lot of artists I know have gone through very similar problems. So I think more people need to be aware of this. Now, I feel like as an artist, there are several factors, things that are involved in my life as an artist that make my mental health more difficult to maintain. So first, I'm going to start by talking about these factors, and I think that maybe you might recognize yourself in this. Factor number one, the imagination. If you've read my post on the blog about anxiety, you might have seen me talk about it. The fact that I have a very vivid imagination is great for a writer, but it also means that it fuels my anxiety. Now, anxiety is not just a simple worry. It's overwhelming. It's thought after thought becoming more and more negative. And actually, it's not just a thought. It's a feeling. So, for example, my biggest source of anxiety is about the people I love dying suddenly. It's really one of my biggest fears. And, for example, if someone is supposed to call me and they don't, my brain goes straight into panic mode and I immediately imagine the worst case scenario. They are dead, they are in an accident, I will never see them again. And I know that said like that, it feels a little like get a grip. But really, when I'm in this mindset, I feel the loss. I feel the grief. I feel like this catastrophic scenario has happened. I can't reason myself. I panic. I hyperventilate. I'm completely overwhelmed and emotional. And it takes a lot to get out of a full-blown anxiety attack. Now, I was diagnosed with general anxiety disorder last year, and I went through a therapy for 6 months to deal with it. And it has helped me keep in check, but it's still very difficult, and my brain always finds more scenarios to play, more dark thoughts, and I know that's because I have a lot of imagination, and therefore my dark thoughts, they get very realistic and very difficult to beat. I can't reason with them. So imagination, when you have a lot of it, it can backfire. Factor number two, the absence of recognition. We all know that being an artist is very difficult, and it's also very difficult to be known, to become not necessarily famous, but at least be known for what we do. A lot of us work very, very hard to put our art out there, but we often don't really get much in return. And I'm not just talking about money. Being an artist means that there will be a lot of people doubting you, a lot of people questioning what you do and not acknowledging that what you do is valid and important. I think unless you become mega famous, there will always be people who will tell you to get a real job, get a real career, become an adult. It's basically, you feel like you're not a productive member of society because you don't make much money from what you do yet, or because you don't have the same schedule as everyone else, or because you don't have to wear a suit to work, etc. And it's a vicious circle because in the creative industry, there will be a lot of people who will pay you peanuts, for example, because that's how it's done. There will be people who don't want to pay for your art or your book, even if they pay twice as much for their coffee every day. So it's kind of, there's such a discrepancy between how you see yourself and the amount of work that you do and how serious you take your career and how everyone else sees it. And you know, I think we've all felt the frustration of doing something and not getting any attention for it. And we can spend so much time trying to market ourselves, and at the end of the day, it feels like screaming in an empty tank. Nobody seems to hear you, nobody seems to care, and that's really frustrating and really depressing. Factor number three, uncertainty. Now, there are two parts of it. The first one is financial uncertainty. Sometimes, I'll be honest, I'd get bursts of panic because I imagine what could happen to send me over the edge financially. Like, for example, what would I do if I get a really bad disease and I can't work? Or, you know, I have savings, but I'm not in a secure position. Or what if someone is suing me? Or what if I go through all my savings without making a penny with this business? I mean, money uncertainty creates mental health issues. If you spend all your time worrying about money, that is going to leave a mark. The second part is uncertainty about the future. Am I ever going to make it? I work so hard with this business, but I have no guarantee that it's ever going to take off. And same for my novels. It's very difficult to accept sometimes because I work so hard. And you know, in other industries, working hard means you're going to get a proportional amount of reward at the end. You're going to get promoted, you are going to progress, you're going to get the money at the end of the day, that and your situation will improve. But as an artist, you have no guarantee at all. You could stay in the same situation for the rest of your life and not get any improvement. And really, it makes it very hard to keep going without any proof that things are going to get better. Factor number four, things tend to evolve slowly. Now, I am a very impatient person. When I do something, I expect a result to come quickly. And as you probably know, that's really not how things work when you're an artist. Everything takes time. And actually, even when you're an entrepreneur, everything takes time. Creating takes time, usually more time than you thought originally. Writing my first novel took years. And honestly, at some point during those years, I really felt like I was just not moving. I felt like giving up because I was like rewriting it and I was still in the middle and it was taking hours to get nowhere. It's like trying to run in the sand. It's just heavy and slow. And then marketing takes time too, as well as waiting for other people's action. Like if you've been to an audition and you wait for the result, or if you're waiting for reviews of your book, or waiting for funding, waiting for people to reply to you. It's like sometimes I want to get things done and I'm gonna have a million obstacles that are going to slow me down. So if you thought that you were going to go from just graduated to superstar, well, you'll probably feel like I do if it takes more time than you wanted. Yes, it happens to some people. Some people definitely just go and become superstars super quickly. But for the vast majority of us, it's going to take much more time than we would like. And that creates major frustrations. Factor number five. Mental health issues are romanticized for artists. Now, that's one of my biggest pet peeves about artists when it comes to mental health. A lot of people feel like they should not get better because from their struggles come the best art. Basically, it's the myth of the tortured artist. And so many very famous people are sort of put on a pedestal because of it. The danger is that if you suffer from depression, for example, you might not seek help because you think that the thoughts brought by your depression help you create better art. It's almost like, as an artist, you kind of have to have issues to be good. And of course, the problem is that you won't get the help you need, or you let it evolve too far before getting help. Clichés about artists like that also comes in the form of drug abuse or alcohol abuse. We have, as a society, an image of what an artist is supposed to be. And it's not healthy or not happy at all. It's like the chain smoking, chain drinking, taking drugs to open your mind, or feeling sad and depressed all the time, or having a dreadful or violent past kind of artist that we all think about. And the cliche is that all that destruction is feeding your art. And if you don't correspond to that image of an artist, then you're not a real artist. That's crazy, right? Factor number six, unhealthy comparisons. Artists, probably more than any other people, will be compared to each other. If you remember the first episode of the podcast with Joseph O'Reilly, he spoke about the auditions he had to go to for a musical theatre part. And all the performers there, they looked like him because they were auditioning for a specific part with people looking a certain way. And he was explaining it's very difficult in these situations not to compare yourself to the competition. And that's exactly the problem. We see other artists everywhere and we can't help but comparing ourselves to them. I do it too. Sometimes I have to just stay away from Twitter, for example, because I've seen several writers celebrating the fact that they have signed with an agent or they have a novel that's going to be published, and I still don't have an agent and I have self-published, but I haven't traditionally published. And I feel really down about it. I feel down on myself when I see authors, sometimes who are much younger than I am, who have written several books and getting praise and awards, and I'm nowhere, and it's just, I keep constantly comparing myself. It's very difficult for the ego. And the problem is, you can't really escape it unless you create on your own, in your cave, as a hermit, away from social media, away from other creators, away from exhibitions. You will be compared to other people and you will compare yourself. And unfortunately, we tend to see all our flaws and all of the other people's qualities. And it's even more vicious. We see other people succeed, sometimes while we think they are not as good as us. I mean, how many times have I said to myself, how did this book get published? It's awful. I write better than that. So why did they not publish mine? So comparisons is a big problem for many creative people. So these are the six factors that I think put us artists in a position where we are more likely to suffer from mental health issues. What I want to do today, now that I've talked about the reasons why you might be more likely to develop a mental health issue as an artist, I want to give you a toolbox of things that you can do mainly to prevent these issues. So it's going to be more of a prevention kind of episode, but also it can help you if you are starting to feel very overwhelmed, anxious, depressed, worthless, etc. So these are the things that I do myself, that I have experience with, and that I have found worked for me. And I hope that it might work for you too. So number one, check your mental dialogue. I talk about it a lot on the blog and in my book, because this is the first thing you should do if you start feeling depressed or anxious or sad or overwhelmed. Check the thoughts that run through your head. That's something I had to change about myself quite a lot. And I'm really lucky that I had the help of my therapist to start with. But to be honest, this is something you can do on your own. There are three steps to this process. The first step is to be aware of the thoughts you think. Now you might think, well, of course I'm aware of the thoughts that I think, but really, you might not be aware of how negative they get. You might not be aware of how your thoughts are piling on the bad things and never really talking about the good things. You might not be aware that your mind is basically constantly trying to lower your fun or trying to just make you feel guilty about things, etc. So the first step is really just noticing the things that you think. If you feel a bit down, what have you just been thinking about? Were you thinking about something really bad that happened 10 years ago that you still are thinking about it? Were you telling yourself that you're dumb or that you should be a winner by now, and if you're not, it means you're a loser, or these kind of things? Try to see exactly what is exactly that you are thinking. Now, the second step is challenge these thoughts. If your brain is telling you that you're a loser, well, maybe it's time to say, wait a minute, I had this award 2 years ago. Oh, but I have this person who's looking up at me and saying, oh, you're really good at what you're doing. Wait a minute, you think that this thing that happened 10 years ago is really important? Well, not really, you know? So challenging, just fact-checking. You know, your brain thinks something, it doesn't mean that it's true. You know, you can make up great stories, for example, if you're a writer. So don't believe everything that your brain is telling you, because most of the time it's telling you crap things to make you feel like crap. My brain sometimes is my worst enemy, and I try to not believe what it tells me, even if it disguises the thoughts into being realistic and being an adult. Sometimes it's not realistic, it's just really plainly pessimistic to make you feel bad. And the third step is select your thoughts. You can operate a selection. You can say, well, you know what? I'm going to stop thinking about that because it just makes me feel bad. Instead, I'm going to think about positive things, affirmations, things like that, things that are going to make me feel good. Your inner dialogue is directly going to impact the way you feel. So when you do this, it's going to increase your quality of life, because basically you will stop making yourself miserable. You need to stop being your worst critic. And I'm saying that as nicely as I can, because I do that to myself too. And the idea is to be kind to yourself, to talk to yourself the way your best friend would do. It doesn't mean you have to be delusional or always happy. It just means avoiding getting in the vicious circle where you pile on every negative thing that's ever happened to you. You know, every setback, every shameful thing you've done, as I said, the thing that you did 10 years ago, you don't need to think about that. You don't need to pile it on something that just happened today. Now, from experience, it's not something that's going to be easy to change. You might go back to your old patterns, and that's okay. I still do it from time to time. But try practicing it, try making it a habit, and you will see a change. Number two, check your environment. The people you spend most of your time with are very important for your mental health. I used to work in a place where some people made me feel really bad about myself. They constantly criticized me, and I mean constantly, all the time. They made me feel like I was worthless, that I was not valued at all, and they put a lot of pressure on me. It was such a bad, toxic environment. And lasted for a long time, and it had such an impact on me. I was in a permanent state of stress, a permanent state of frustration, and I was scared all the time. I was scared of losing my job, I was scared of making a mistake, I was scared of what other people would say about me. And I think it's not a coincidence that I developed anxiety problems at the same time. And it's not just about your work environment. It's also your friends, your family, your partner, your acquaintances. Do you spend most of your time with people who build you up or people who tear you down? Do you have sometimes that experience when meeting some friends and at the end you feel completely drained? It's like they dump all their problems or all their stress or all their frustration, their negativity on you, and as a result you feel very bad. Now, okay, once in a while, that's not really a problem. You want to be a good friend, I understand that. But if it's every day, that's a big problem. Think of it as water on rock. If it's once in a while, it's not going to have a big impact. But if it's every day for a long time, that's when the rock becomes molded by the water. In other words, that's when you start being impacted by all that negativity. So it's important to make a selection of the people around you. And I know it's easier said than done. When I had my work problems, I couldn't really quit immediately. It was very difficult. And, you know, I understand it's very difficult too if you have a partner who's making you feel really bad. And it might just be that your partner is not really happy with you doing your art, or they might just be abusive. And same with the family. I'm not saying that this is going to be an easy decision and it's not going to be easy to do that, but you should at least consider cutting the most toxic people out of your life, because they're not going to change. The only thing you can change is how much time you're going to spend with them. And you might need a plan. If it's changing your work environment, you might have to wait a few months. And I know that is difficult when it's with family and etc. But you need to think about that, because you can't get better if you have people constantly pushing you down. Now, there's also the other side of that advice, which is filling your life with great and supportive people. So it's not just cutting people off, it's also meeting new people who are going to make you feel good. I mean, you can make new friends, maybe different type of people, maybe just the type of people that you're hanging with at the moment are not really positive or proactive or just nice. So you might want to try other types of people. There's different groups you can try. If you constantly aim to have awesome people around you, it's going to improve the way you feel. Number three, check your health. This is something that I think is not talked about enough when it comes to mental health awareness. Sometimes the way you feel can be caused by health problems that you might not suspect. I've had anemia problems for years. I've had to have supplements and injections in the past to counter it. And you know what? Some of the symptoms of a deficiency, for example, iron or B vitamin, are huge fatigue and depressed feelings. Another example, someone told me on Twitter this weekend that her caffeine consumption was making her anxiety much worse. For me, caffeine doesn't have the same impact, but I've noticed that alcohol makes my anxiety worse. And of course, if you don't do any exercise, if you don't sleep well, or you don't eat well, all that can have a dreadful impact, not only on your body, but also on your mind. So sometimes it's worth just getting a complete checkup to see if maybe some of the things you are feeling could be explained by a health issue. I think it's important to talk about it because you might take steps to get better, for example, doing a therapy, and not see much improvement because there's an underlying cause that is not treated. So, in other words, if you can, speak to your doctor. Number four, take a break. Now, I'm not just talking about taking a break regularly, although that's something you should definitely build in your routine. I know I'm the worst offender. I am the kind of person who's not taking a break until I get sick. But taking a break is also something that I do every year as a special weekend. And it has helped me tremendously with feelings like hopelessness or feeling overwhelmed with my life, feeling out of control, etc. So every year, I take a weekend away. It can be just a day, but if you can afford it, a weekend is the best thing to do. And I go on my own somewhere. Now, the destination is really not important. It could be literally the city that is the nearest from where you live. The important part is that I literally take a break from everything in my life. My job, my business, my flat, my family, everything. I go on my own and I don't talk to anyone. I switch off social media, I switch off everything. It helps me recenter and sometimes make a difficult decision like quitting my job. You know, sometimes I feel like my anxiety comes from the fact that I can't control anything in my life. It feels like it just keeps going and the weeks go and the days go and I don't have time to take a break. That is why I do this. Taking a break, slowing down thinking. In my case, I also journal during these 2 days to put all my feelings on paper, but that's because I'm a writer, I guess. It just helps me regain some sort of control. It helps me just stop for a moment and reassess. Now, I know that it's not always possible for everyone, but taking a break, even just having a me day where you just pamper yourself, can be really positive and helpful. Number five, try mindfulness. There are loads of mindfulness practices. Meditation, yoga, tai chi, gratitude, positive affirmations, blah, blah, blah. These techniques are not like treatments for mental health issues, but I have found that some of them have really helped me in many different ways. Mindfulness techniques can help you be more aware of your thoughts and feelings, and it can help you when you're in therapy and need to find a way to express what you feel. You're just a bit more aware of what's going on in your brain and in your body. Meditation for me helped me when I had anxiety attacks. Concentrating on my breathing was literally the only thing that could stop a full-blown attack. Holding a gratitude journal, it helped me keep track of the good stuff when I felt really depressed and alone, and when I felt like I hadn't accomplished anything. And positive affirmations, they helped me when it came to replacing the bad thoughts with more supportive thoughts. So for me, mindfulness is kind of like a training to keep your mind healthy. And there are so many techniques that you can try that you should really give it a try and see if it improves your life. It won't be a miracle, it won't be a fast cure, but it might just give you a little bit of respite when you need it. Number six, talk about it. This is the most important thing you can do to help yourself if you're feeling anxious or depressed or suicidal or just not feeling okay. There are people you can talk to. And I cannot stress enough the importance to say something. You don't have to go straight to a therapist. Sometimes talking to your best friend is all you need. If you remember episode 8, when I was talking to TH and Anders, we were talking about the fact that maybe you might be more comfortable with a doctor or, you know, a mentor, a counselor, someone who's maybe in a position of responsibility for you. Even, you know what, talking on the internet to strangers sometimes can be helpful. Talking will make you feel like you are not alone, like what you feel is valid. The other person might even suggest solutions you hadn't thought about, or you know what, they might just hug you because sometimes that's all you really need. I know from experience that opening to someone about your problems is super difficult. You know, I'm the kind of person who is seen as very strong, and I usually don't really say if I'm having a bad day. And before I started this show and my blog, I hadn't told anyone except my boyfriend and my therapist about my anxiety issues. Anyone. So I get it. You might feel like you can't talk, or that other people have it worse than you, so you shouldn't complain. You might even have the mindset of you have to stay strong and silent, you know? And that's something that sometimes is taught to little boys. Boys don't cry. So if you're a man, you might feel like you can't talk about what you feel. And I'm talking about men in particular because statistics show that there's 3 times as many men dying as a result of suicide compared to women. So what I'm here to tell you is that you can talk and you should talk. If you don't want to talk to your friends or family and you'd rather talk to a professional or a stranger, there are many organizations that can help you. I'm going to give you a couple now. If you're in the UK, the charity Mind can help you address mental health issues, and through them you can have access to therapy or group activities to help you. I went through Mind for my therapy last year and I cannot recommend them enough. It might take some little time for you to be referred, but hang with them because they are amazing and they are completely underfunded. So if you are really interested about what they do, check out their website. You can even help them and donate money. It's mind.org.uk, and you can self-refer yourself to Mind so you don't have to go through your GP. If you have suicidal thoughts, there are help available 24/7. So even if you're listening to this and it's 2 a.m. and you've been thinking all these thoughts, you can call someone. My best advice is to call the Samaritans. In the UK, the number is 116 123 and it's free. You can also send an email at joe@samaritans.org. If you are in the US, you have the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The number is 1-800-273-8255. And anywhere else in the world, you have the International Association for Suicide Prevention, IASP.info. So check out their website to find information for your specific area, specific country. Don't stay alone with your thoughts. The first step to getting help is to say something to someone. Getting a therapy is not shameful. Complaining or talking about how you feel, just venting, is not shameful. You're a human being. You're allowed to feel what you feel. It doesn't mean that you are broken or useless or worthless. If you feel like this is what you need, make the first step. Right, this is the end of this mental health awareness episode. I think we were a bit longer than the other episodes, but I think it was really important that I went into details about this. What I wanted to do is really open a discussion with you guys, because you might have tools on your own that might help other people. You might have things that are issues that I haven't even thought about, or you might have tried some things and it didn't work for you. So if you want to, you can tag me on social media with your own tips, with your own story, with your own things that you wanted to say about different subjects in the show today. And as you might have noticed, I didn't really talk about things like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. The first reason is I don't have a personal experience with this. And the second reason is that, as far as I know, there are also other components, such as genetics, to these problems. So I didn't think it was just limited to artists. I didn't think it was going to be just as helpful for you guys. But I'm always open to hearing from you if you have some of these issues, some of these experiences, and how it impacts you as an artist. So if you would like to talk about it, let me know on social media, or if you'd like to talk about it on the show, you can also let me know on the contact form on the website to apply to be on the show and talk about these subjects, because I think it would be really interesting to talk to people who have these experiences that I don't have, and I think it will be interesting for you guys. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode and I hope that you found it useful. If you want to discuss about this more, again, feel free to tag me on social media. I'm at Celine Terranova everywhere, and I'll see you in 2 weeks for the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Partum Artist Podcast. If you want more advice and inspiration, head to the website, thepartumartistinoneword.com, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you enjoyed the show.